This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there! Welcome to another episode of The Saturday Quiz. My name's John Leary, and as host of this podcast, I ask the 10 questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and my guests put their heads together to provide the answers. Now, being a podcast host is a little bit like being a parent. You're not meant to have favourites, but in this case, I reckon I'm allowed. It's always a joy to have these guests with me, and since the episodes that they're on tend to run a little longer than usual, I'm not going to spend any more time on the introduction. Welcome to the show, Brian Nankervis and Julia Zamiro.
Johnny!
Hello, you two. It's so nice to have you back on the show.
Delighted to be back, as always. Number four, perhaps? Number five?
Well, number five for you, and Julia has come on with Kitty Flanagan.
Yes, so, right. A few weeks ago. But Brian, did you hear him say we're the favourites?
Yes.
So
have a little
We love you
about
too.
That.
You're my favourite parent, Johnny. You're my favourite parent.
Okay. Done. Good. Beautiful. Now, before we get on to anything else, let's talk about next Friday, the 29th of March, Rock Quiz is back for one night only on stage in the magnificent Hamer Hall in Melbourne for the annual Really, Really Good Friday.
The 8th annual, can you believe that?
Wow, even I don't know that. Wow.
We've done 7 of them and this will be number 8. And
lucky number 8.
In a way, you know, we were talking before about doing something over and over, doing something regularly. It raises the bar that little bit much because you want every show to be as good, if not better, than the last one. And they've
Indeed.
Always been good shows. So, look, we're pretty excited. We've got some fabulous guests.
Excellent. Any guests that you can have, any guests been announced or
Johnny,
you're not allowed to say?
Johnny,
John,
you know.
Johnny.
I would
Johnny,
have thought as a professional
wow.
you and as a favourite parent, you Jesus. Would realise that Rockwiz works on surprise.
Yeah. Oh, Johnny,
Indeed.
Come on.
That is true. My apologies. You do, however, have an expanded Rock Quiz orchestra.
Yes.
Always.
And
yes.
Dougal is wearing his hot cross bunny.
Dougal, apparently, maybe? Yes, will be wearing the hot cross bun suit. And, yes, it's the 5-piece band, so it's the sort of the regular band that we had on the Foxtel series. But, yeah, Peter Luscombe, Bill McDonald, Ash Naylor, Cleo Renner, and the fabulous Olympia.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Pretty gorgeous. And Brian and I will be back too in our old cozzies. Maybe a new cozzie, maybe a new pair of shoes. A new lipstick.
You lash out on a new shade
of maybe.
Lipstick.
Just to keep it up.
Nice.
Just to, you know, mix it up.
Well, that's excellent. And that's part of the comedy festival.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
As well. It is part of the comedy festival. Normally we don't tend to do Rock Quiz with a couple of comedians, but every year we get some corkers. And it's just lovely
Brilliant.
To also just remember, on Good Friday you assume everybody goes away, but guess what? 2,000 people turn out every year at Hamer Hall. Because they don't like to go away.
No, they don't want to miss the return of Rock Quiz for the Really, Really Good Friday show.
Yep.
That's
and
right.
our two comics this year, one of whom I think people are going to be a little shocked because she is someone who has really made a splash on our TV screens. She comes from a land that is a reasonable distance but she's on our screens constantly. That's all I'm going to give
you. Oh, nice. See, thank you. That's a very nice, tasty titbit of... yeah, a little morsel, little snack size, bit of information.
Yep, indeed.
Now, as you may remember, as you may recall, I ask my guests before we start the questions proper if they have a favourite piece of trivia. Oh, Julia's just remembered that this is something that I ask every episode.
Oh.
Do either of you have a new bit of trivia?
Yes.
Do you remember your... Oh, go for it, Brian.
Well,
you
have a new bit of trivia? I think that my last one would have been the time length, the duration of the snooze on an iPhone.
That is exactly right. You are right. That was your last bit of favourite trivia.
And the answer, of course, Johnny, is or was...
9 minutes.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Okay. Get a load of this one. Tonight, when you walk outside and you look up and you gaze longingly and lovingly at the moon, just think about this. Buzz Aldrin, who was the second person to walk on the moon, his mother's maiden name was Moon.
Get out.
Absolutely 100% true.
Wow.
That is hilarious. I thought it was going to be, you know, maybe something
Armstrong
moon related or lunar or
that's right.
Or, I don't know, but actual moon.
Yes. How about that? Like, Della Moon or John Moon or Cynthia Moon. I don't know her first name, and I apologise.
No, you needn't
to the Aldrin family. But Buzz Aldrin's mother, her maiden name was Moon. And if people are wondering who Buzz Aldrin is, look it up.
I hope most of my listeners would know who Buzz Aldrin was.
Of course they would.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they're not so interested
in
trivia, in which case I got to ask, why are they listening? But anyway, Julia Zemiro, do you have a little bit of trivia?
I happen to be in Wallyallop, which is Fremantle, and I went to Rottnest Island yesterday for a little bit of a holiday. To Wadjup, as we call it now. And apparently there is a quokka hospital there. Quokkas have their own hospital. Did I see a tiny building with a little car park and some ramps and across? No. But I'm told that there is a special area which is its own hospital for the quokkas to look after them if they get injured in some way. And I think that's lovely.
That's so cute. I was hoping that the quokkas were the doctors and nurses in the hospital and that they were, performing operations on humans.
Yes. Right.
That would be
okay. That
would be my preference. But
do you think we can get Ian Grandage, who has been the artistic director of the Perth Festival, to maybe come up with some kind of magnificent installation as such?
I think that's a great idea.
Great.
Yeah. Done. I'll give him a call.
You can play some amazing music
for it. Yes, I've got a title, Rockin' with the Quokkas in Emergency.
Or maybe I should ask you, Julia, are you there? Were you visiting Rottnest Island because you are presenting Quok Quiz? Is that something you could look forward to?
That's good.
Quok Quiz.
Quok Quiz.
That's really you've got to be careful with that one, though.
Yeah, you do.
Of course you do.
You do. Hands off. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Now, here we go. Very well done. Thank you for both those excellent bits of trivia. We are up to question number one. We're going to start with the quiz. Here we go.
Here we go.
Neil who has been called the godfather of grunge?
I'm putting my hand up. You've got this one?
Yes.
Shall I just do it?
Of course. You just do it.
He's not old. He's young.
No, quite opposite.
Neil Young.
But he is old.
That's correct. I think he's maybe close to 80. And I'm
he is. He's 78, I think.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I think he was given that title maybe by... Is it around the time when he was playing with Pearl Jam?
Well, I mean, it comes from the influence, really, that he had over artists like Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam and Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. His influence was clear on especially Kurt Cobain, because Kurt included lyrics from Neil Young's song in his suicide note.
Yes.
Which is pretty extraordinary.
Hey, hey, my. Was it Rock and Roll She'll Never Die? It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Hey, hey, my. Yes.
Which really apparently sent Neil Young, you know, in a bit of a tailspin for a little while. And he was inspired to write some music that he dedicated to Kurt Cobain's memory. And
that's right.
Yeah.
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 Have you seen Neil Young, Johnny?
Have I seen him live? Yes. Never. Oh, never have I seen him live.
Remarkable.
Have you? I'm assuming you have.
Yes. I saw him at Rod Laver maybe 6 or 8 years ago. And they have roadies that all are dressed the same. And in fact, I think Neil Young is dressed as a roadie. So you don't know who's band and who's roadie. Very egalitarian. Just spectacular.
And I have to apologise to Neil Young, actually, because I think...
Here we go. This is a confession. Up, here we go.
Yeah.
He came up maybe a couple of episodes ago, but I talked about his... maybe as he got older, some questionable politics that maybe he drifted to the right. But I'm entirely wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not him you're thinking of.
Yeah, it's not him. Who am I thinking of?
Well,
Morrissey.
I mean, I could be.
Could be Morrissey.
I am. Yes. No, not Morrissey. Van Morrison.
Yes. And Van Morrison also. Yeah.
Van Morrison has gone a bit.
Van went nuts, you know, during COVID. You know, railing at the government, taking away our freedom, forcing us to wear masks, forcing us to be vaccinated. But Neil, I think, has been pretty strong. You know, he removed all his music from Spotify.
Exactly. And why did he do that? Do you remember why he did that?
I think because of comments that were made by Rogan.
Joe Rogan, whose podcast was exclusive to Spotify.
That's right.
So Neil Young removed his entire catalog from Spotify. But do you know he's just put it back on Spotify
just a
week ago, and he said, "My decision comes as music services Apple and Amazon have started serving the same disinformation podcast features I had opposed at Spotify. I cannot just leave Apple and Amazon like I did Spotify because my music would have very little streaming outlet to music lovers at all. So I have returned to Spotify."
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah.
You are a font of all good things of knowledge, Johnny.
Oh, me? No, yeah, DeBrine. I thought you were talking to Brian.
Brizer is natural. But doesn't also, Neil Young also, isn't he one of those musicians who, when his music gets used by people that he doesn't believe in, just goes, "No, sorry, you can't use my song." Yep. I mean, it's just... No.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He had a big spat with Trump for doing that. Yeah.
So, I think it was it Rocking in the Free World, perhaps?
Yeah, probably. Oh, my God. Probably. Yeah.
What a song. When you finish listening to this podcast, simply Google Rocking in the Free World Rockwiz and you will see Paul Dempsey and let's not forget Olympia.
Yes.
And Ash Naylor. Oh, remarkable.
Nice. Remarkable. Wow. Well, I will be doing that as soon as we get off this podcast. All right. But we should move it along.
I know. Question one. We got it in 2 seconds and we did a whole essay on it.
Yeah. All right. Question number two. Here we go. Which has more bones, the hand or the foot?
I'm going to just look towards Julia for this.
Well, I knew you would. And ironically, no, I happen to be doing a yoga teacher training course. And I'm loving every minute. And we were just talking about all the bones in the feet and the hands the other day. Can you believe it? And can I remember? Look. It's 50-50 at this point, isn't it, for me? And I'm looking at my feet and my hands and look, oh, gee.
Help, I wonder, to examine the foot and the hand?
It sort of does.
I'll tell you this. They're very, very similar. There is one bone difference.
No.
So there is one of them has 27 bones and one of them has 26.
Do we think the thumb's the extra bone?
The thumb?
Yes.
Well, it does so much more than the big toe.
Because famously we have five fingers and
four toes.
Four toes?
Or is it? Are we talking wrist? Are wrist and ankles involved in that, or is it just the actual
wrists and ankles are involved included. In this? Let me tell you this: there are 14 bones in your fingers and toes.
Yes, and all the rest.
Called phalanges.
Yeah,
very good.
What was that word?
So
phalanges.
Yeah, phalanges.
Could you spell phalanges. That, please?
P-H-A-L-A-N-G-E-S.
S.
Wow. Yeah.
Phalanges.
Is that where
so
they...
So each finger and toe
right.
has three phalanges.
Yes.
Do you know what how they're called, Julia?
No.
So distal.
Top, middle and bottom.
Middle, you're right,
yeah,
and
middle.
Proximal.
Oh, very good.
Oh.
So the proximal is close to the hand, and middle is that middle little bit, and distal is distant from your hand.
And,
yeah.
And proximity, so, and philandra, like a philanderer, a person who is unfaithful.
Yes.
And
with his fingers
and digital,
absolutely.
Yes,
and
digital.
Yeah, let's not
you picked there. It in one. I think it's from the Greek, if not the Latin.
So they all have three, except for the thumb and the big toe, which each have two, only two, right? Yeah. Then there are five bones that compose the middle part of the hand and the kind of middle part of the foot. They're called in the hand. They're called metacarpals.
Yes. And in the foot, they call metatarsals.
Correct. So the difference is in the clump of bones that make up the wrist and the arch of the foot and ankle.
Okay, I'm going to say foot because the foot is a very complicated piece of equipment and does so much to make us walk and run. And the look on your face, Johnny, shows me that I might be incorrect.
So you think there is an extra bone in the foot.
I agree. Johnny, how would we stand up if we had less bones? You know, why don't we walk on our hands?
Well,
some people can.
Yeah.
Some people do.
Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil walks on their hands.
Yes.
Some related primates also walk on,
children,
on their hands.
Children can.
But no, you're incorrect. Oh. There's an extra bone in the hand. In the wrist. And it's called, the one that is the extra one, is called the pisiform, which comes from the Latin word for pea, because it's the little wrist bone that kind of pokes out just at the bottom of your palm, I guess, where your wrist and your palm kind of meet. And it's a little pea-shaped bone.
Now you say it.
There you go.
I remember my beautiful teacher, Kate, talking about pisiform.
Talking
now.
About
But
there
I think
you go.
We just come out of a serious meditation, but I might have been slightly outzoned and then didn't. But pisiform, okay. Can we remember that?
Pisiform.
Brian, pisiform in the hand.
Thank you. Yep, that'll go into a script.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's 27 bones in the human hand compared to 26 in the foot.
Bugger.
All right, okay. Question number three.
Here we go.
Daniel Deronda is a novel by which English author?
Wow.
Do you know this one?
Daniel
Deronda. So Daniel, spelt as you expect it to be.
Daniel and
And Deronda, Deronda.
Are we able to ask questions, Johnny?
Yes, of course you can.
We are.
I might not answer them, but sure.
Does the novel have a beginning, middle and an end?
As far as I know, yes.
Thank you.
Is it?
I will tell you this though: it is constructed in a way that part of it is in flashback.
Isn't every book now? Every Leanne Moriarty book now is then and now,
yes,
then and now.
For sure.
Oh, righto. If you have to tell me it's then and now, we're in trouble. That's all I'm saying. If you have to say, if you're not writing clearly enough, that you have to go, oh, this is now then. Oh, this is now. It's like Margaret Atwood wouldn't do that. She would just say, get on with it. Figure it out.
You think it should be obvious.
Okay.
Catch up.
So are we saying it's a book that is 50 years old or before 50 years?
Older.
Older?
Yep.
Daniel Deronda.
If I was to attend the Adelaide Writers Festival and eat, I don't know, a little bit of lobster on a dry crust, would I be likely to sit down in a chair and hear about the author of Daniel Deronda?
I mean, only not from
him attending.
No.
Yes, no. It's someone long dead.
Long dead.
Writing, I will say, in the Victorian era. Oh.
Very good. Okay. I did a lot of these books at university, but do you think I can remember one name of any of those bloody authors?
This is one of the big ones.
It's one of the big ones.
It's a Bronte or a Dickens.
It's a male one. It's a male one, isn't it?
Well, that is a very good question. Because the name that we're after is a male name. But the author does...
Yes.
Is a woman.
Is a woman.
Yes. George Eliot.
George Eliot.
George Eliot is exactly the right answer. Very well done. Daniel Deronda is a novel by which English author? George Eliot. Do you know George Eliot's real name?
I'll know it if you say it.
No, I don't off the top. Isn't that terrible? We should know a name, shouldn't we?
Well, give us the first, word.
First initial.
A double-barreled first name, M...
Mary Martin.
Mary Ann is correct. And E is the Elliot. Second initial.
No.
That's that's her nom de plume.
Yeah. Mary Ann, I don't know.
Evans was her surname.
But what was her famous book? Because Daniel Deronda, no disrespect.
That's all right. Daniel Deronda is not one of the goodies. What is it called? Middlemarch.
Middlemarch. Correct.
Mm.
Middlemarch.
No, I read it 35 years ago. You make me want to pick it up again. I can't remember. I can't tell you.
Well, let me tell you this. Mary Ann Evans, somewhat controversially for the times, lived with her partner, George Henry Lewes, who was married to someone else with several children at the time. And in an essay that she wrote, Silly Novels by Lady Novelists, she criticised the trivial and ridiculous plots of contemporary fiction written by women. So, when it came to selecting a nom de plume, she obviously decided to choose a male name. So she took George from the man she lived with, and Eliot was, to quote her, a good mouth-filling, easily pronounced word.
Oh. Is it that much of a...
How about that?
Is it that much of a mouth-filling word? I'd say Nankervis Eliot. Is a much more of a filling word in the mouth, wouldn't you?
Zemiro.
I mean, Eliot, you've barely said anything. You've barely moved your mouth.
Yeah,
it's mostly vowels, isn't it?
Solzhenitsyn.
Yeah.
Solzhenitsyn. That's a mouthfuller. I wish
you could. That is a mouthful. Yeah.
Pumpernickel, that's a much fuller. No, sorry, I can't give it to you, Marianne. Can't give it to you.
No. All right.
Should have chosen a different funicular. Name.
But we got it right, Brian.
Yeah, you did get there. Well done.
Okay.
All right, question number four. The ship that carried the pilgrims from England to the New World in 1620 was named, and this is a multiple choice.
Yes.
Would you like the multiple choices to choose from?
I thought that was the first one. No, that would be an awkward name for a ship. Would you like? Yes, please.
Isn't it the Mayflower?
Oh, very well done, Julie Zemiro.
Wow. Sorry to nip it in the bud.
The options were
A...
Sunflower, B, Wallflower, C, Bellflower, or D, Mayflower.
Yes.
And there's also a bonus point, since you got that so quickly. There is a bonus point for naming which current-day US state the Pilgrims settled in. Do you know that?
I want to say Massachusetts. Where's Massachusetts?
You want to say it, but you can't say it.
It's a mouth filler. You got a mouth filler there.
That's a mouth filler. Better than bloody Eliot.
George, Massachusetts.
Yeah,
really.
The lights all went down in Massachusetts.
What's that one?
Bee Gees.
Sorry. My apologies for not knowing that.
Oh, part of me wants to hang up. But that's a city.
No, Massachusetts is a state, and it is indeed the state where the pilgrims landed. Yes.
Brian, full of pilgrims. Done.
I tell you, you cannot swing a cat and not hit a pilgrim in that Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Come on, mate. And do you know where the word Massachusetts comes from?
Oh, I hope you're going to tell me.
Oh, well, I will.
Is it from another language?
It is from another language.
Hold it there. Hold it there. Hold it.
Okay.
Massachusetts. I'm going to say Flemish, German or French.
Oh, Flemish.
Oh.
One of those three.
No, it's the word that the people, that the indigenous people of that place called themselves. So they called themselves the Massachusetts.
Yes.
And so when it came to naming the place, they took the name of the people that were already there and called it Massachusetts.
Wow. So that's the First Nations of that place. That's their name, Massachusetts.
Exactly. Oh,
well, that must be one of the few places that probably has kept that name.
Yeah.
Because they often didn't do that.
It's not generally the practice to...
We like to colonialise and change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, question number 5. What animal is the brand mascot of Paddle Pops?
Oh.
Wow.
Everyone knows that.
Well, Brian doesn't.
Everyone except me.
Yeah.
Hang on. So just sketch it for me.
Yeah.
If I go to buy a Paddle Pop,
I
hand over my money, and as I look at the wrapper before I tear it off, I see an animal.
Yeah. You do. Or on the poster, maybe, you know... advertising the
and if you went to a live event where they were giving Paddle Pops away for free, there would probably be a 17-year-old boy
dressed up in a suit
doing a bit of suit work.
A polar bear, that. Some sort of
no
polar bear. That's a very good guess.
I was going to say wrong.
But wrong.
A seal.
I know what it is. I'll let you keep
not
guessing.
A seal. Get away from your
the cold
stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, get away from the cold.
Oh
yeah.
Well, a dolphin.
No. Get out of the water.
Water. On land, a quokka.
No, bigger.
Okay, bigger. Elephant.
Smaller.
Smaller. Mouse.
Bigger. But more dangerous.
Echidna.
No, bigger.
No, you were closer with elephant.
Wow. Lion.
Lion is the right answer. Very well
and
done.
And you knew
the
that, Julia.
Lion. Yeah, he's called the Paddlepop Lion.
The Paddlepop Lion. Do you know what his name actually is, Julia Zemiro?
Ah, I didn't know.
He's got a name. I know, right?
Leo,
it should be Leo.
Should be.
Balthazar? Something weird like
that? No, it's not weird at all.
John?
No, it's Max.
Is it?
Yeah, Max the Lion.
Okay, that is news to me.
Wow.
Get this. Do you know when Paddle Pops were introduced?
Or now, created? Are they Australian?
They are.
Right.
Yeah, they were created by Ron Street, who was the nephew of Street's Ice Cream
Street's
founder,
ice cream.
Ted Street.
Ben, yeah.
Yeah, you tell me what year-ish.
Well, I was eating them in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop, end of sentence.
Yeah, full stop, end of sentence. Okay. I would have thought, I would say 64.
Oh, you're...
Close?
I mean, you're closer, but not really. No, it was created in 1953,
wow.
The Paddle Pop. Yeah.
Unreal.
And by the end of the century, they had sold 90 million units of Paddle Pops, making it, apparently, per capita, the largest selling ice cream in the world.
Do you know, I have never, ever contributed to that 90 million figure for
You've
myself.
You've never had a Paddle Pop?
Never. I've never had a Paddle Pop.
Look, may I say, I'm going to say the Paddle Pop is actually almost the perfect ice cream. Because it's just one flavour. Let's not get complicated. We don't need chocolate around it. Mums didn't feel so bad giving you one. And you had chocolate, you had vanilla. There was probably raspberry. There was a butterscotch one that came and went. But just, it wasn't too rich. It was kind of a watered-down ice cream kind of scenario. So it was sort of refreshing and fun. And, of course, in those days, there'd be all kinds of games and competitions on the Paddle Pop stick.
Liquor
prize.
If you
got the 1-1, you'd get a prize. I mean, simple times.
Yeah.
I know. And synonymous. Or what do you call it when the word...
Onomatopoeic.
No, not onomatopoeic. It doesn't sound like Paddle Pop.
Oh,
but
sorry.
What I mean is that it has entered the Australian lexicon as the name for those sticks. It's a Paddle Pop stick.
Oh, you know, it is too.
You know what I mean? Like,
or is it a paddle stick?
No,
it's definitely a Paddle Pop stick.
Sticks. And you remember in primary school where they give you a whole bunch of clean ones and you'd build a kind of hexagonal, octagonal bowl for fruit or maybe an ashtray if it was the 70s. Hang on, would you have an ashtray?
Maybe not.
No, that was
all
play.
Right. I think we've spent enough time on that.
We have.
It's time for us to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Julia Zemiro and Brian Nankervis, and we are up to question number 6. Plackets, interfacing, and nap are terms associated with which craft? Not with witchcraft, but with which craft?
Very good.
Yes, Julia Zemiro has raised her hand.
Look, she knows. I'm feeling...
Or she's got a guess.
Fairly confident, but I would say it's the haberdashery sewing situation.
Exactly right. Yep, sewing is the answer that I've got in front of me. Exactly.
Plaquettes, I'm not quite sure what a plaquette is, but interfacing, certainly the extra bit of material you've got to put inside the original material to make it stronger and give it a backing. And nap, I think, is a corner or a turn or something.
Well, nap refers to the kind of the grain, if you will, of a material. So the direction that the fibres go, that kind of thing. And yes, a plaquette or a plaquette is the folded over bit on your buttoned shirt, the bit where the buttonholes are in. So you know how that is sort of folded over and sewn along the edge to give it a sort of double width, I guess.
Yeah, some strength. But do you know sometimes they don't necessarily seal them? And I don't like that.
No, I'm likewise with you when they do it underneath. Yes. And they just put the buttonholes through it, through a double layer of cloth.
Absolutely.
But they haven't sewn up the side of the fold.
And there's a degree of fiddling which often causes me to be late for a train or a meeting.
Because you can't get your buttons.
Late. Hang on. You late for something, Brian. I don't believe it in it. The guy's never been on time in his life. It doesn't need a button.
All right. Question. Very well done. Question number 7. Abyssinia is the former name of which African nation?
Ooh. You know what? As soon as you said the word Abyssinia, I thought of George Eliot. I think Abyssinia would have been such a better surname.
Oh, yes.
Much more of a mouthful.
She could have been George Abyssinia.
George Abyssinia. Look, I suspect that it... Is it a Babylon? Is it some sort of... Is it African?
Yeah, you said that.
I just wanted to confirm.
Very well done. It is
Ethiopia.
Now...
Oh,
Ethiopia
that's good.
Is the right answer.
Bang.
Oh, my God. Ethiopia is the right answer.
You are on fire, Julia.
Wow.
You are some kind of genius.
Every time I come on this show, I just feel a bit better about myself when we're done.
So glad.
You're not a Dumbo. You do know stuff.
Yeah.
No, who's calling you a Dumbo, Julia?
Oh, you know.
Yourself, your own little voice.
I never finished any degrees except
grade
for
four.
An acting degree, which is technically a diploma. So...
Tell us about Abyssinia.
Yes.
I would love to, but I don't have a great deal of information for you because it's a little hard to know exactly when it was Abyssinia and when it wasn't and when it was Ethiopia and when it was. It seems like the names coexisted for a long time.
Yep. Huh.
So to one group of people, it was Abyssinia. But concurrently, it was Ethiopia to another set of people. So, yeah, this one, it was a hard one to kind of work out that sort of stuff.
But a terrific question.
As opposed to, I don't know.
Neil Young.
As opposed to Neil Young.
Yeah.
No, I mean, as opposed to, what's another country that has changed its name?
Oh, Istanbul. Constantinople.
Exactly. You know, there is a very definite date.
Yes.
Mm.
When that changed its name and everyone went, oh, okay, well, we're calling it that now.
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
You know. Precisely. So, yeah.
Well, they're both beautiful words, Abyssinia and Ethiopia. Aren't they? They're both beautiful mouthfuls, George Eliot. You let yourself down.
George, Eliot. I mean, no offence to any Eliots out there, but you don't have a, your name's not a mouthful.
No.
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 Face up to that, please.
Really. All right, question number eight. Why was play suspended for almost 2 hours during a recent Indian Wells tennis match between Carlos Alcaraz and Alexander Zverev?
What was the tournament again, Johnny?
It was at Indian Wells, which never is the tournament. You've never heard of Indian Wells?
No, but I don't follow tennis.
I think you're making really that one up, tennis? Johnny.
Yeah, I do too.
No, not at all. It's in the US. It's in California.
Okay, yes. I do remember reading about this.
Yes.
Bees
is the right answer.
Surely a Zamiro. Yeah, part of me wonders if there's a bit of underhand Googling, but I know you would never do that.
I'm not a cheater.
No, and I can see both your hands.
And I'll tell you why, because I would have got that bloody yoga question right.
Yeah. Oh, yes, had you been Googling. Question,
the foot one. Thing.
Which is really the only one we've got wrong, by the way.
keeping score. A big old swarm of bees came and they were actually, for some reason, they were swarming around. You know how they have that, the camera over the tennis courts that's on the wires?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So they were all hovering around that for a long time. Yeah, and so the umpire had to put a stop to the game.
Yeah.
While they contacted a beekeeper who, you know, worked or lived nearby. So Lance Davis was this beekeeper's name. And he came in, he rushed over, and without wearing any protective clothing or anything like that, just a pair of sunglasses because of the glare, he went in and he vacuumed them all up. He used his little vacuum. Or big vacuum.
Humanitarianly, I'm amazed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You would imagine the vacuum was designed specifically to vacuum bees during a tennis
I don't know if it was exactly a,
that would be ideal.
A bee vacuum, a vacuum specifically. No, just your run-of-the-mill Godfrey's number. He sucked them all up and then, took them back and he's still got them.
Released them? What? So you're saying that bees all maintained their life.
Structural integrity.
Yeah, within the vacuum, Johnny.
They're pretty strong. They're pretty clever.
I think that's how they do it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Ironically, I think those cameras on those strings, if this is what they were called at Eurovision Song Contest, they're called spider cameras. So the camera wasn't able to eat the bees and deal with it in some way and Lance had to come and do all the work with his Hoover.
Mm.
You know what? I reckon Lance has got some pretty good PR.
Absolutely.
I reckon Lance left the court. He waved to everyone with a humanitarian
sort of wave.
Oh,
he got a big cheer. Yeah, he got a massive cheer.
On his way to his car park, he just opened the vacuum, dropped it in a bin and kept going. I find that very hard to believe. Anyway...
All right. Well, you take it up with Lance.
Take it up with Lance.
Carlos Alcaraz went on to win in straight sets 6-3, 6-1 over Alexander Zverev.
I just don't care about that result, but I'm glad you told us.
Look, to be honest, as far as sports questions go, I reckon you can be pretty happy with that
one. That's a good one. Right.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Question number 9. Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster were nominated for acting awards at the 49th Academy Awards in 1977. They were also both nominated in 1992 and 2024.
Wow.
Name the films they were nominated for in 1992.
Oh,
I mean, I want you to name them all because I think you can get there.
We could get there if we had wine, cheese, and time. But this podcast has to be an hour or so.
Yes. Well, half that.
Let's go.
So
with
what we're looking. So we're looking for what.
So when you're looking for 1992, what were Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster nominated in acting categories for? What films?
1992 is sort of post.
They're two different films. So
yeah, of course. Post Taxi Driver, post sort of Mean Streets of New York for Robert.
A long time after those.
And
yes.
Jodie Foster.
Wow. I'm going to say Jodie Foster's was either Silence of the Lambs or Nell.
Yes.
Or what was the second one?
Nell.
That means Nell. He didn't like the first one.
No, it means I did like the first one.
Oh, okay, yep. Yeah. Okay, so Silence of the Lambs, we're locking in, Johnny.
Lock that in,
excellent.
Yes. Okay. Lock that in for Jodie Foster. She won Best Actress for Silence of the Lambs.
Genius lady.
Robert De Niro was nominated for Best Actor in the same year, but lost to Anthony Hopkins for Silence of the Lambs.
I see.
So which film did Robert De Niro...
A Boy's Life.
Oh, no. Not A Boy's Life.
Goodfellas.
Incorrect.
Oh,
Goodfellas. Not Goodfellas. No, I like we're going through Robert De Niro's kind of 90s films.
Was it Casino?
It's not Casino, no.
Was
incorrect.
Was it one that was perhaps playing against type for Robert?
I wouldn't say so, no.
I was thinking
I would say this was, you know, within very much...
No.
Not me,
that was a bit later, perhaps.
This film was a remake of a 1962 film. George Zemiro's got it.
Cape Fear
is the right answer. Good correct work. Answer. Robert De Niro was nominated for Best Actor in 1992 for Cape Fear, but he lost to Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs, for which Jodie Foster won Best Actress in that same year. Now, let's do it. Let's go back to 1977. Or no, let's start with 2024, this year, just the other day.
That would be the Scorsese one that Robbie Robertson did the music for.
Correct.
The Flowers or the...
yes, you've got one of the words in the title.
Yeah, the squeamish flowers of a... unsung hero. No.
And it's something to do with the bit of trivia that you came up with at the beginning
of the
show.
Oh, the flowers of the moon, the flowers of the Western, the Spanish, the...
Let me fill in the blanks for you. It is killing of the...
Killing flowers.
Flower moon.
Killing blood, killing... Fields.
He said it already.
Killing of the Flower Moon.
I didn't pay attention enough this year, I've got to say, but
no.
Good.
So Robert De Niro was up for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Killing of the Flower Moon, which he lost to Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer.
Yes. Mm.
So Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster was in...
What was she nominated for this year?
It is one word, and it is the surname. Mm. It is someone's surname.
Sure. Well, I mean, come on.
It's a bit
Abyssinian.
Adidas.
What did you say? Adidas. Mm. It is weirdly a sports film.
Oh, is it the one about her wife swimming across the thing?
64-year-old marathon swimmer.
Oyen.
No, starts with her N.
All right.
Nguyen. Yeah.
Nguyen.
Well, you're close.
Nguyen.
I don't even know how to say it. Nyad?
Nyad.
N-Y-A-D?
And that's the name of her ex-wife in it.
Ah, there you go.
I think. I really don't know.
Okay.
There was a TV movie on Netflix. There you go.
Well, yeah, so maybe it is a TV movie on Netflix, but it was also up for, Jodie Foster was also up for supporting actress in that film. At the Academy Awards. So now all that's left for you to answer is what was the single film that Jodie Foster and Robert De Niro were both in 1977, which they were nominated for acting awards?
Taxi Driver.
Ryan Nankervis.
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver is the right answer. Thank Very well done. You. All right, we're up to the final question. Oh. Here we go. Question number 10. Who launched the new lifestyle business, American Riviera Orchard, this month? And if you think that title doesn't make sense, I'm with you.
American Riviera Orchard.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be That could be clothes. That could be food. That could be wellness. Some bullshit
and,
wellness
and
thing.
Right now, it is all and nothing. None it's of all those of things. It's little more at the moment. It's little more than an Instagram profile with a logo.
Is it a well-known entity person that we would know?
The person is very well known.
Is it Gwyneth Paltrow going, "Goop's not working. I've got to go a bit more Americana"?
No, that is incorrect. It is.
Is it someone from the entertainment world?
It is someone from the entertainment world who has transitioned to probably another element of the world or another. You'd know her
gender.
From. No, not another gender.
Dead.
They are not dead.
Right. They've transitioned very much to another world. Yeah, but
No. I mean is they've transitioned. We now know them better via another way rather than their.
Is it politics, maybe? Some entertainer's gone into politics?
Kind of.
Musician,
it's a,
by the way.
It's a
actor.
Political,
originally.
No, act. Yeah, an actor originally.
No longer working. No longer being given
She's
parts.
Not working in that.
That form.
Wow, I'm now fascinated by this. This is very interesting.
So, yeah, a politics aligned, politically aligned. I mean, can you call it a job?
Not an Angelina Jolie.
It's not an Angelina Jolie.
I'm trying to think of an actress who stopped.
American,
yes.
Correct.
Is it activism rather than politics?
No. I would say that they married very well.
Okay, an actress who is no longer working and has married very well. What does
that
mean?
She's no longer working really. I assume that she's no longer working as an actress because of her coupling with this person.
Well, what a superficial lady if she's not going to work because the work means nothing more to her anymore, and now she's decided that, if someone can pay my way, I never was into the acting in the first place. I mean, that's disappointing.
I don't know if that's, I hesitate to endorse those comments.
She might
comments,
be offended by that.
Yeah,
because
sure.
You don't yet know who we're talking about.
Is she in her 50s or more?
No.
Oh, she's young.
Yeah, younger.
What?
You're
okay,
gonna
come
kick
on,
yourself.
Come on.
This, yeah, come on.
Come on, come on. We're gonna kill ourselves. Come
okay.
on.
Okay, she's an
a
actor.
Younger actress. Is she in her 30s?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, an actress who married well.
Yeah, she married extremely well. In that affected all parts of her life.
Oh, thank you. Got it. Okay. All right, here we go. What an idiot. Meghan Markle.
It is Meghan Markle. Very well done. Otherwise known as the
yes,
what's her?
Duchess
do you know what her
Princess Town? I don't know
the
what her
Duchess of Princess Town.
Duchess of she's
do you know
the one
which
with
part?
With
Harry.
Harry,
yes,
yeah.
So do you know where she's the Duchess of?
Oh, Covington,
Kent,
Sussex is the
Sussex.
Is the yeah. So, yes, she has launched a new lifestyle business.
Yes,
called American Riviera Orchard.
Bad
why?
Mate.
That doesn't mean anything.
Why? It doesn't mean anything.
Although
and
I will
who
take,
knows what it's going to be.
I will take it back.
See?
Of course she can't act anymore. I thought she'd marry. I thought we were talking about an Elon Musk or something. We're talking about royalty. Mm. That is tricky. Well done.
Yeah, it's right. It is. I mean, because what job are you doing as an actor when you're also royalty? Like, it's...
One of the biggest losses to the acting world was Grace Kelly. When she married the Prince of Monaco, then she stops acting. She died in the hills of Monaco in a car with her daughter driving is the story. And if she'd not married that guy, she might still be alive and in Hollywood making amazing films and being the star that she was. Full stop, end of sentence. That's for you, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate
there you go.
That.
Wow.
All right. Well, wow. I think
so,
there
you go.
If only I'd got the toes and the feet and the hands right,
yes.
We would have had 10 out of 10.
We would have had 10 out of 10. As
you would
is,
have, absolutely.
We got a very strong 9.
A very strong 9. I mean, a very strong 9. You also got the bonus point for naming which state the current day US state the pilgrim settled in. So you
let's
got,
call it. Let's call it 10 out of 10, John.
10 out of 10.
Let's call that the best result you've ever had in the history of your podcast.
Okay, we can do that.
Thank you.
Let me end by saying this. Thank you both so much for coming and doing this quiz.
Total
I adore
pleasure.
Having you. tell people how they can get tickets or otherwise come to the really, really good Friday show.
Look, I think they let their fingers do the walking, but I do know there are still tickets remaining. We are on Good Friday. We are the way you can brighten up what was perhaps for some people a day that was associated with staying indoors, eating cold cod, and being made to feel sad because some bloke got hung up.
Or you could be in our family. It was just a day off and you're just forward to going to a show because you don't swear allegiance to no one.
No. Yeah, whether you believe in one of the major religions of the world or not.
Yep, we're there for you.
Come along and have an excellent time.
Hamer Hall. And, laughs, and really, yes.
Music.
Laughs, music, comedy.
Trivia.
Yes.
Comfy seats, very comfy seats.
And then you can be
just come and have a nap if you like.
You can be in those comfy seats looking at us thinking, wow, these people are all going to go into the green room for a quick, cheeky cup of tea. Then they're going to hop in a bus and go to the airport, check into a airport hotel, and then get up at 4 o'clock and fly to Coolangatta to do a show at Blues Fest.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I feel sick just even thinking about it.
I know.
So any listeners that I have up in where? Coolangatta on the Goldie.
We're doing two shows at Blues Fest up at Byron Bay.
It's really fun.
Well, if you're in northern New South Wales or southern Queensland, you can get along to that.
Please. Yeah.
Brilliant. So are they on the Saturday night?
Yeah, no, afternoon, Saturday, Johnny.
2 o'clock, if you don't mind, or something.
Or even 1 o'clock, if you want to be accurate.
1 o'clock, oh, my God. If I do want to be accurate. Wow.
Well, you absolutely are troopers. Thank you so much for making time to do this little podcast.
We love it every time. We love it.
Well, thank you, you two. I will definitely see you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.